This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Browns fans visiting OBR Weekly on YouTube, Twitch, and X. Welcome to the show. We are here with a special free agency edition of OBR Weekly, and happy to have you. Regardless of which platform you're on, feel free to hit us up with your questions and comments. This show is powered by your questions and comments. First, we've got something we've got to do, but after that, we will just dive into whatever you want to talk about, and the show will be powered by you. So what I want to do, Fred, is before free agency started, you rolled out a six-part series titled A Six-Step Plan to Get the Browns Back into the Playoffs in 2024. And you outlined six steps, obviously, that the Browns need to follow, in your opinion, to move deeper into the playoffs this year. And what I want to do is I want to go over each one of those steps, what the team has done so far, and get your impression of their strategy to date. We're going to go through that, and then we're going to dive into questions as usual. So let's start off. Drum roll, please. Step number six was re-sign Joe Flacco or get a veteran backup quarterback. And the Cleveland Browns have done the latter. They have landed Jameis Winston, who is 6'4", 231 pounds, 30 years old. Last year, he threw 47 passes, completed 25 for 264 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions. Fred, Joe Flacco did a pretty nice job, was very popular in Cleveland. Why do you think the Cleveland Browns chose Jameis Winston, and what grade do you give them for their performance on step number six?
Well, first off, I'm no expert. Just been watching this team for over 30 years. And last year, I laid out five steps and to get back to the playoffs because they hadn't been in the playoffs. And pretty much it wasn't just me, but a collaboration between what Jack Duffin, our salary guy, and Cody and film guy with Jake, and all together kind of came up, and we hit pretty good on those. So I thought, okay, they made the playoffs. Let's try it again. And I had five steps, all dealing with starters. But at the last minute, I threw in a sixth step because I felt how important it was to have a veteran backup quarterback. Because last year, obviously, we all know what happened. They didn't have one, and they were scrambling the whole year. So with that said, to me, it just seemed so logical to bring back Joe Flacco. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Come back player of the year, and he only played five games. Sure, he had a clunker in the playoffs, but it just seemed to make sense. They said, Andrew Berry said when we talked to him, that there was absolutely no concern about a division in the locker room between Flacco and Watson because he was very popular. And so I took it there at that worth. The only hang up that I heard going into this whole deal was that Flacco wanted 2 years. And that kind of put the Browns in a spot, I think, because they want to get to DTR as their backup, but it makes sense to have a veteran this year. You sign Flacco to a 2 year, then you're pushing that down a little more. I don't know if that was the issue or not. But with the money, we're seeing the contract breakdown that Winston's really not getting $8 million. You know, right. It seems a lot less than that. So my first thought was, if you're giving Winston $8 million, you probably could have got Flacco for 2 years for $8 million and let him out of it after a year. So I don't know all the details on the contract, but it does seem like, I said it's the most confusing because you seem like, for no reason at all, you're alienating your fan base. You did that kind of with the Deshaun Watson trade. The waters were calmed, in fact, with Flacco last year even, and after being a couple years into this. So it just really is a head-scratcher. I don't agree totally with what one of my colleagues, you know, kind of blasted the organization that it was on purpose. I think they look at this guy as the number one overall pick, 30 years old, you know, was had some really great stats early in his career with New Orleans or with Tampa. And I just think they think he could win more games stepping in. I don't know if he can or not. He's, you know, he throws a lot of interceptions and later in his career, but you know, that's what I think. They look at pure, you know, analytics and look at him. He's 6'4", has a lot of the characteristics. He is 9 years younger than Flacco. And so all things being equal, I don't know. I still disagree with the move, but I can see what they were probably looking at. But I don't think they really look into it as alienating their fan base, you know, or not taking that into account. You know, when you're looking at numbers and analytics, you know, that's what stood out to them. And I'm sure we'll never get the answer. It won't, you know, I'm sure somewhere in the deep recesses of their mind, they're thinking the first pass that Deshaun Watson throws, it's intercepted. You're going to hear the stadium chanting Flacco, Flacco, because it was so magical in the little bit of time he played. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Probably did somewhere, somehow. But I think the analytics people just said, this is a better option for the money than Joe Flacco. That's all I can explain. I will say they agreed with me to get a veteran quarterback. And if you look at the story, I did have Winston in there as a possibility behind Jacoby Brissett and Flacco.
All right. Well, you know, I think this organization thinks that if you win, you know, all that other stuff goes away, right?
Well, let me say this, Barry. I don't want to interrupt you, but if number four plays the way he's supposed to, your backup's never going to play.
Right.
But that and if number four does not play the way he's supposed to play, or even how he was, you know, before he got hurt, the Browns don't have a chance anyway, in my opinion, whether it's Flacco or Winston or whatever. They could get to the playoffs, but you really have – you look at the final teams last year, the final four all had their franchise quarterback playing well. And that's what it's going to take. And number one is Watson staying on the field. If he stays on the field all year – by the end of the year, we're going to know if he's a legitimate top-tier quarterback or he's just an average guy or what. But you got – everybody can give me – I would think that if he played 17 games, big if, he would have better stats than a Joe Flacco and be a better option than Joe Flacco, okay?
Right.
And the same thing with Jameson Winston. So if Watson does not play all year and does not play well, next year all bets are off, and it's like, now what do you do? But they're all in with him. And so they feel that Winston would be the better option. I don't know, not only the player, but the baggage he has bringing that in after you let it all simmer down to some degree with the Watson thing. So anyway, obviously there it is. But it comes back to over and over, this roster's really good, but number four's got to do his job or this isn't going to matter.
Right. The rest of it is kind of irrelevant if Watson doesn't come through like he did in the game against the Ratbirds and the second half against the Titans. Let's go to number five. Step number five, in your opinion, was to re-sign linebackers Sione Takitaki and or Anthony Walker and or add a free agent upgrade. But what they did is Anthony Walker and Takitaki have moved on, and they've added Jordan Hicks, who started 13 games last year. He had 61 tackles, 46 assists, one sack, one interception, one forced fumble. Known as a run defender. What's your thought on this move, Fred? We've got a couple of questions about linebacker too, which we'll get to after you answer this question. But you think this is a step forward, or is this marching in place?
No, I think Hicks is an upgrade over Anthony Walker. I like Anthony Walker. He was a team captain, finished the last 2 years on injury reserve. And you saw him getting exploited when he was out there in the pass. He couldn't keep up with some of the guys he was tasked to cover. I know Hicks has went over 100 tackles the last 5 years, and that's his primary role. That's what Walker's role was. So I think they clearly upgraded there. The Takitaki move, I thought he played solid. He was more of a run stopper. He also was exploited in, you know, when he was out there in pass coverage. If you remember in the playoff game, he got beat, you know, bad. Right now, Walker and Takitaki are the only starters not back, and I think Hicks is an upgrade. So you really have, you have 9 of the 11 starters back from last year, and I think Hicks is an upgrade, and I think they can find a one-year veteran linebacker that maybe can cover a little better than Takitaki and can also. You also have to realize in the role of the linebacker, they don't put a lot of money into the linebacker. They haven't, because they put it into the secondary and the defensive line. And JOK is the every down backer. And a lot of times they don't even play three, they play two. So you have JOK, and then I think Hicks is the other one. But I think they'll add another guy, probably second or third wave type of a guy, or they'll draft one. Mm-hmm. So actually, I said Walker and Takitaki was the minimum baseline. That's bringing back the two starters. But if you could find a better option, obviously they felt Hicks was a better option and they could get him. So I don't feel too bad with 10 of the 11 starters, you know, or 9 of the 11 starters back with an upgrade over at least one of them, maybe over both of them.
Right. And Steven on YouTube asked if you think we sign another linebacker, a starting quality linebacker, and you're sort of suggesting that the second wave of, or third wave of free agents, when there's a little bit more bargain shopping, that we may see another guy picked up.
Well, PFF had Hicks as the 11th best linebacker available, and he was a little older, and I think that's why he was lower on the chart. So Takitaki and Walker were down, you know, in the 170s. So, yeah, I think that they can find somebody. There's guys still out there that I think Nicholas Morrow's still around. I'm not sure. I haven't updated everything. Zach Cunningham, there's a couple guys that I had on my list. Denzel Perryman, a little older guy. You know, I think they'll definitely find some more depth at that position and not go into the season, obviously, with just JOK and Hicks. I think they still have Tony Fields, and they have Mahmoud Diabate from last year, and Jordan Kinasic. I think they may bring him back as well. Right. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm almost surprised that they, you know, Jordan Hicks, obviously, I think, in other words, I think they could have had Walker if they wanted him. They probably told both those guys, go see what you can find. And they might have said, give us a chance to match it, or said, hey, goodbye, good luck. I don't know.
Right.
But Takitaki got paid, and I don't think he was as fast as what they were. I liked him, but I think they need more speed at the position. Now, to be honest, I don't know where Hicks falls into all that. but I think they will get somebody that can cover, you know, and be like another JOK, you know, guy that can be used in coverage. So you're not stuck if he gets injured.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, let's roll on here to number four on your list of steps to get the Browns back and hopefully deeper into the playoffs. And number four is at running back. You said to add Dobbins, Dillon, or Moss at running back in free agency, and also throw in a third day draft pick. Now, what they did is they added Nyheim Hines, who has made his fame as a kick returner, but has amassed over 1,000 yards running and also is a pretty good pass catcher. And they've added him to the trioka of Chubb, Ford, and Strong. Does that meet your requirements, Fred, or were you looking for a little bit more of a bell cow behind Watson?
No, I think Hines is your kick returner, punt returner. If you remember, they went out and tried to get Jakeem Grant the last 2 years, and both years he was lost for the season. They've really struggled to try to get a returner. This guy was with Bubba Ventrone with the Colts, and he really liked him. So I think this move is primarily as the return man. But as you said, he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and he could step in, you know, as a running back. This isn't what I had in mind. I don't look at this as a running back move.
Right.
You know, there's a couple ways to look. If you read the story, I said it all hinges on Nick Chubb. And this tells me between the lines, I know they were talking to teams about, like, or they were talking to Zach Moss and they were talking to some other guys, but the sticking point was a one-year deal. And what I was talking about was, because you don't know Chubb's situation, you cannot just hope he comes back. If you don't know, you have to have more than Jerome Ford. And so a lot of times guys come off injury, they're better the second year. And so offering a one-year deal to me was telling me they still think Chubb, you know, is going to be able to play this year and maybe sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And they expect him to be able to return the following year as well. So I look at this as good news. If they would have went all in to get Moss or one of these guys, that would have told me they don't feel too good about Chubb's future here.
Right,
so that's one thing. But I still think they could bring in a guy like Dillon. I don't think he's signed. Some of these guys, they're waiting to see where they land. Now, the running backs did kind of fare well. There was a lot more activity in running backs than, but I wasn't expecting one of those top tier guys. Moss got more action than I was expecting as well. So a lot of the teams that needed running backs, I think they went and got them. So I think you're going to be able to maybe get a guy, but the most realistic option to me all along was drafting a guy in the, I don't know, fourth, fifth, sixth round to come in and be that depth until Chubb is ready to return. I don't know if he's going to be ready for training camp or ready for the first game, but I have to think they're feeling pretty optimistic about him, or they would have been a lot more aggressive, because they're not going to go into a season saying Jerome Ford's our guy, and right, that's the only guy we got other than Pierre Strong. They also know last year they had Kareem Hunt. He's probably going to be available too. I you know, no disrespect, but I think I don't think Hines, he's a good pickup, but I don't think they're counting on him to be your starting running back. He's the return guy, but he can do some of these other things. He could be a third down back. He could be their third back, fourth back, and play special teams. So it's the versatility. So no, that's not what I had in mind, but it all hinged, in my opinion, on Nick Chubb. And I think it's good news, to be honest.
Yeah, well, no alarm bells going off with them chasing a running back with a multi-year contract. So,
and my thinking on J.K. Dobbins, I think he's still available, is he would be very motivated, you know, to play if they thought Chubb was going to be out a half a season or something.
Mm-hmm.
And former Buckeye, you know, first round, he's very good. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Right.
That would have been a low risk, high upside type move. And that was my number one target. But I can see him take that off the board if Chubb, they feel, is going to be ready in the first quarter of the season. And I, right. you know, I wouldn't bet against Chubb, you know, anybody on this team. I would, you know, Taki had that big injury, ACL, in December, and he was ready for the first game. Now, I'm not comparing the injuries because I know it was two different ones, but, you know, I just think overall that it's signaling to me that they're not panicking about running back because I think they feel Chubb is doing pretty well.
That would be, that would be great, right? You go into the season not expecting a lot, and to get Nick Chubb anywhere close, anywhere near where he was, would be unbelievable. Well, let's roll on to number three. Step number three was on the defensive end, and you said to re-sign Za'Darius Smith or sign a younger top edge rusher. And, of course, what they've done is they've gone out and they've re-signed Za'Darius Smith for 2 years. They're following your instructions, Fred. You got to give them a pretty good grade for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they, you know, went after a couple guys, but bottom line was what always happens in free agency, the premier guys or the guys that are maybe not, let me put it this way, the guys that are still left after being franchised or re-signed by their team get astronomical figures. I mean, Wilkins, I think, is getting more money than Myles Garrett, you know, and are pretty close. And so, yeah, I think I like Za'Darius Smith. You look at his numbers and you think, oh, he only had five sacks. Some guys like me look at sacks more than what Jim Schwartz and Stefanski kept telling us all year, that he was right there. He was one of the key players on the team. And I know he had close to 40 quarterback pressures. So I think he's 31. What I like most about that is we don't have this 1 year at a time. They signed him to a 2 year deal. I'm so tired of every year losing. You get the guy for 1 year and then you're like going out and trying to find a new one. So
this
gives you a chance to see if you have the answer, you know, in Alex Wright or Okoronkwo or whatever, but you got a good rotation. So again, he was one of the starters. When I said they had 18 starters back, he was one that wasn't back, and he was the key signing of your guys you're losing. They've lost a few guys, but he was, in my opinion, the most important one.
All right. Thumbs up for the Browns on step number three. Let's go to step number two, where your instructions to the Browns were either make a big splash signing at defensive tackle or re-sign Shelby Harris and Maurice Hurst. Obviously, they've done the latter. They've lost Jordan Elliott, but Jordan Elliott wasn't mentioned in that particular step. So they basically, once again, have gone out and done exactly what you suggested, Fred. So passing grade again here.
Well, you know, Jordan Elliott was listed on the starting lineup, but Maurice Hurst, when he was healthy, and Shelby Harris were really, in my opinion, the starters. They were, you know, they were putting up better numbers than he was. Both of those guys were rated on rankings for free agents. Elliott, I didn't see him on any ranking. He got a good thing in San Francisco, so good luck to him. But again, those two guys give you your depth. And really, that's kind of like your – so you now have intact your starting lineup on the front four than what you had last year when you have Garrett, Tomlinson, Harrison Hurst as one of those, and Za'Darius Smith. And then you have depth with Alex Wright, Okoronkwo. So you had the number one defense statistically, and you basically have that back intact with an upgrade at one of the linebacker spots. So – Yeah, I would have liked Wilkins, and it's hard-nosed projection because I know you can't get Wilkins and Danielle Hunter,
right?
You know, but maybe you could get one of them. I still don't know if they're done. There's some of these guys, you know, that teams have big salaries that might want to trade, you know, and if you remember, Za'Darius Smith didn't come in last year till after free agency was like right. over in a trade, and there's teams. You know, and Andrew Berry's very good at that stuff. Plus, he's very good at getting those 30-something guys like Shelby Harris mm-hmm. that are available. Harris wasn't even signed until the end of Greenbrier after training camp, and they were right. coming back to Berea. And I think Jim Schwartz said, okay, I've seen enough. Go get me Shelby Harris.
Right.
So,
yeah, Andrew Berry never stops working. Always looking for upgrades on this team. And that shows up as well on point number one, step number one to finish this off was trade for a top wide receiver. And what they've done is they have gone ahead and they have traded a fifth and a sixth round pick, both of which were acquired, not their picks, but acquired in trades, for Jerry Jeudy, a guy that they have been rumored to be pursuing for a couple of years. Is this the type of player you had in mind, Fred?
Well, he's one of them, and it remains to be seen. They feel, you know, I don't know what they explored. I mean, I think I had Mike Williams as the number one because we saw it today. He got waived or released mm-hmm. to get under the salary cap. I thought he would get released. I don't know how. I know he had a big number, like $32 million. But if you trade for him, I think you assume it. But I thought maybe they could restructure like they did with Amari Cooper. I think I also had Brandon Ayuk, you know, and when there were some rumors that the 49ers were looking maybe to, you know, get rid of some guys because of salary. But they had to – I think I had Jeudy third. I know they'd like Jeudy. They tried to get him at the trade deadline last year. But he's one of these guys – I kind of put him in the Elijah Moore category. Mm-hmm. A lot of hype and big potential, but he hadn't done much. Now, he has better numbers, or he had better numbers with Denver than, say, Moore did. So I have to think they like him enough. You know, I wanted one of the top three. I wanted somebody that's either between Cooper and Moore or even ahead mm-hmm. of Cooper. And so right. I think Jeudy's in that number two spot. So we'll see, but it's a very low risk. And you think it's kind of like I compare it to both those trades. Cooper, they gave up a fifth round pick, I think. They had to deal with the salary. Moore, they give up a second round, but they really had a very low salary. This guy's playing on the fifth year option, 12, 13 million, but they only gave up a fifth and a sixth round pick. So they can evaluate, do they want to extend him now or wait and see what he does? But I can't fault the move at all. I would still like a veteran receiver. I'm a little greedy that I want somebody that's proven. And that's why I said Mike Williams. His biggest thing has been he was injured last year. And, mm-hmm. you know, he killed the Browns a couple years ago. And so,
yeah.
And there's other guys like that, you know, and I'm sure that, I mean, I think Hunter Renfrow got cut, you know, if you need yep. a slot guy, I don't know, guys out there, you know, that you could bring in, you know, maybe on a flyer. I don't know, like if one guy I still am intrigued is Michael Thomas, if he's mm-hmm. still available on a 1 year deal, you know, guys that are hungry to prove themselves. So, no, we talked on this show over and over. Everybody's asked about who you're going to draft at wide receiver or who you're going to sign in free agency. I was just sure they would trade. And in fact, to give you behind the curtain, I probably should have put my free agency thing out early because it was all done and I was going to put out the wide receiver trade on Monday morning, but then they traded Saturday. And so right. it looked bad. So I posted it Sunday, I think, but I did have that written because Andrew Berry did a preemptive strike and they don't have to wait till free agency to do that. In fact, you do that before. So
right.
It's one if you don't. You know, if you post it early and then they make a move, you could have made a correction, or if a guy gets signed or something. So that's a little bit what happened. But that's right on the thinking, is a trade just makes so much sense in what Andrew Berry thinks. He's got his top three wide receivers on this team were all acquired in a trade. It kind of lets you make up for your sins in drafting, because they haven't drafted that great at wide receiver.
No.
I'm pretty convinced that you can't get a guy that's going to help you this year in the second round. You know, they could still draft a wide receiver in the second round, but, you know, like Cedric Tillman could be good, but you can't count that he's going to be a top receiver this year. David Bell the year before, and we all know with Anthony Schwartz the year before. So I don't think second, third round, you get a top line receiver immediately. That's why the trade route or a free agency. Last year, he signed a free agent, Marquise Goodwin. Problem was he could never get on the field. He had a few things wrong. And that was kind of your second, third tier one-year contract. I still think that could be coming, and they still could draft a receiver.
Right. Don't you think at this point that it's really best player available with the Browns' second round pick? They don't have a glaring need so much that they have to draft somebody in the second round. You know, previously, yeah. I think it was wide receiver, but now it's with Jerry Jeudy added, best player available.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to get to. You know, and you could even see them trade down to get more assets, you know, if they don't think the guy can help them. They're in a win now mode. So I don't see them, you know, just look at last year. Siaki Ika did not play really. Cedric Tillman didn't really play much until they traded Peoples Jones. Those were their top picks last year in the third round. Okay, second round, you would expect the guy to be able to play. But this team, this roster is much stronger than it was, you know, even last year. And that's why they're not overhauling it. They just need to tweak a little bit. And by bringing everybody back now, you have all your starters back. So now you're just looking to, like you said, to fortify the depth. The guys they're losing in free agency were backups or near backups, guys they felt they could upgrade. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They see a guy that they think can help them right now. They might even move up from 53, 54 to get that guy.
Right.
But if not, they can take the best player available, and they might have a DeJuan Jones-type guy sitting there, you know, that was supposed to go in the second round or first round that for whatever reason nobody took him, and they got DeJuan Jones in the fourth round. So – if there's somebody they really like that gets bypassed, they can do that. And that's what good teams do at this point. I still will say this. I don't expect the second round guy at 50 something to come in and make a big impact immediately. He might in the year, but not immediately. So that's why the trade route to me is still your best bet. Mm-hmm. And second, third wave of free agent. Like I said, Shelby Harris might've been one of your best players, and Za'Darius Smith on defense, and you didn't get either till, you know, at the end of free agency. I don't remember when it was with Smith, but Harris definitely wasn't until, you know, second week, third week of training camp.
Right. You know, the other thing a good team do, they develop players, and they let those players step up when free agents have to leave, like the Steelers have done for so many years at linebacker, for example. You know, they allow these linebackers to leave that you think are stars, and they have someone else come in and replace them, right? And that's what the Browns are doing to a certain degree. They didn't have to go out and spend mega bucks in free agency to fill gaping holes this year. They were re-signing their players, and they're letting other players who are developing step up. And I like it. Compared to previous years, that's for sure. Hey, we have a huge number of people who are watching us on all three platforms that we're broadcasting on. We've got about 15 questions to answer in the second half of the show. If you've got questions, please feel free to fire them off. We will get to as many of them as we can in the second half. Before we get to the question and answer portion of the show, I'd be remiss in not bringing up a couple things. First thing I want to mention is that we have a 50% off special on all subscriptions to the OBR, which is good through the rest of this week. We are, at this point, there's just an incredible amount of activity in the OBR premium forums. Who are the Browns talking to? Why are the Browns making certain decisions? Questions and answers going on, rumors being either kiboshed or discussed in the premium forums. We have a team of insiders, three insiders now, who are working the phones, working agents, working players within the league to try to find out what they can find out. Jack Duffin, Jake Burns, Pete Smith, all answering your questions in the premium forums. 50% off this week to get inside the VIP gate. Second thing I want to talk to you about are the people who are sponsoring this program, Core Home Fitness, makers of the best adjustable dumbbells on the market. They have stepped up to sponsor this broadcast. You can find them at corehomefitness.com. Don't take my word for it. You know, as jacked as I am, take the word of Men's Health. Take the word of the New York Times, both of whom who have rated their equipment as the best in the market, as well as rating them a best buy by Consumers Reports. This is a company that has their act together. They have a U.S.-based support team, fast shipping, hassle-free returns, you name it. They know what they're doing. If you want to crush your goals in 2024, Core Home Fitness is definitely the guys to talk to. Bring the gym home this year. No use hiking out to the gym, you know, 3-4 times a week. Just go to your weight room, go to your basement, whatever, go to your garage, hit your adjustable dumbbells there, and rock and roll. So Core Home Fitness, they're the guys. CoreHomeFitness.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring this program on the OBR. All right, let's get to your questions. And if you have more of them, please fire them off. First question we have comes from our buddy, Fumble13, who is always in the chat, always with good questions. And I think he asks one that is on a lot of people's minds, which is whether Greg Newsom is still being talked about in trade discussions. That's really a question for our insiders. And I will tell you that there is continuing buzz about that. Fred, if you are Andrew Berry, you've got 5 draft picks right now left over, and somebody offers you, let's say, pick 80, you know, and a 5th round pick. Are you seriously considering making that deal for Greg Newsom?
Well, I don't look at all the value. Before I say anything, Joe Flacco just signed with the Colts. Similar deal, it looks like, than what Jameis Winston's getting. 1 year, up to $8.7 million, I think 4.5 guaranteed. So money's wow. Money's going to be, but good for Joe. And yeah. So that kind of puts that to rest. Obviously, you know, it's a but as far as Newsom, I think that I'm it doesn't matter what the name is, unless you got a better option, I don't move on from a guy. Now, if they think Cameron Mitchell, the kid they drafted last year, much lower, I think about a 5th round pick, and a free agent they signed, Khalif Halassi, are better suited, you know, and can do what Newsom does. Yeah, you do it. Or you can sign a 1-year guy to step in. But you did have a pretty good core of cornerbacks. We know Denzel Ward is fragile. I don't mean that derogatory, but every year he misses games. Martin Emerson is clearly, in my opinion, moved ahead of Newsom. So you have Ward and Emerson, and Newsom's your third. Now, I know he wants to get paid big money, but you have him under control for 2 seasons. You pick up his fifth year option. Yeah, it's steep, but you have him for 24 and 25, kind of like you did in Jedrick Wills. And whether you're convinced of him or not, you have time. But what I'm saying is, if you can get a guy that can do what he can do or is better at a better rate, you make the move. But you don't just do it to do it, in my opinion, because why weaken your team unless you got a better option? Now, they may think they have a better option. And you've heard rumors saying that you know, even from Lane and some of our guys, that they are talking to teams about some of these guys. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him moved. But it comes down to, do you have a better option? Mm-hmm. And can you say the guy you draft in the second round or a pick you get is going to be better than him this year? Or if you feel Cameron Mitchell is better than Newsom this year? I don't know the answer to that. So, yeah, as much as they value draft picks, you think about the trade for Judy, a fifth and a sixth round pick. The fifth round pick they acquired in the Baker Mayfield trade, and the sixth round they acquired when they, you know, traded for Deshaun Watson. So two quarterbacks got throwaway like draft picks, but those draft picks can convert into players. And like you see, it turns into Jerry Jeudy. So if the Browns think they can get something worth the while for Newsom, they do so. But I don't just trade him to trade him. I don't think he's a detriment in the locker room. He's still under contract. I think they can do better. If you watch the playoff game, he was getting beat all day and, you know, by the Texans receivers.
Yeah.
But I don't, in other words, you don't just cut your nose off to spite your face. You're not forced into making a deal for him until I think the deadline for the fifth year options like the 1st of May. So you have the draft before even, you could trade him before and let somebody else deal with him, or keep him through the draft and then pick up his fifth year option.
Right. Right. Here's another question from YouTube. This is from Steven. He says, Fred, I have a concern with the offense. We lost a lot of coaches and we are installing a new offense. Running game efficiency is at risk. How do you think this is mitigated?
Well, I haven't seen it. I mean, yeah, you have Ken Dorsey. It's clearly all going to be designed because they didn't feel, despite Watson being injured last year, I think that was a big thing, but we didn't see, I think, what they were expecting, you know, and I think that's why they made a move. And I'm expecting it to be very quarterback oriented, you know, fresh ideas, you know, some of the things that Dorsey did with Josh Allen and Cam Newton. And they brought in a guy today who's, I think, to be the running back or running game coordinator. I think it's all about getting Deshaun Watson everything he needs to have a high-octane offense. I don't think anybody that watched last year would think that the offense was that much different. You know, even when Flacco came, the difference was throwing the ball downfield and airing out a lot of deep balls. Right. I think Watson can do that too, but they just didn't seem to do that first. They were, they just were all over the place with it. So I think everything is about, yeah, you're right. It's new coaches, but it's just putting them all in position. I think a big thing on the running game efficiency though, is the offensive line and Nick Chubb, because you take Nick Chubb out of any lineup, you're not going to look very good compared to what you had, you know, when he's playing. And the offensive line, if they're blowing out the holes, I think your running backs look a lot better. So it's a coordination. I mean, they got a new offensive line coach. They got a new running back coordinator and offensive coordinator. So I expect it to look different. And it better. They've moved the chips all in, and it's That's what it's all about. But sure, there's going to be concerns, you know, until we actually see it on the field. And again, it comes back to number four. Number four right. is supposed to erase a lot of ills. He can make up for not great wide receivers. He can make up for not great running backs with his mobility and all those things. He just got to stay on the field.
That has been the challenge. Let's go on to a question from Twitch. This is Keith Nash 85. He says, Barry and Fred, who are the Browns linked to that's not being talked about? I would advise Keith, I don't know if you're a VIP member or not, but there is a heck of a lot of activity going on in a forum called Insider Central. And I would ask you to check that out. That's where we sort of talk about, hey, we're hearing that the Browns are interested in this guy. And I can't even keep up with it, to be honest with you. There's been so much activity in there about players that the Browns are have talked to or are not interested in or are just not getting a reception about. I think one of the positions, and Casey Kinnaman brings it up, where there's got to be some activity, Fred, is at tight end, right? Now that they've lost Harrison Bryant, Jordan Akins did not blow me away last year. So behind David Njoku, what do we have, you know, at this point? Don't you think that they need to be, there needs to be some activity there? Or do you think the Browns are happy with Akins and might look to draft someone, as Casey suggests?
Yeah, I don't think they're happy with it. Obviously, Harrison Bryant came out as a rookie. I thought he was really going to be like the long-term answer. I feel like he plateaued. He turned into more of a blocking back. You know, he did have the big play in the playoff game, but I liked him, good guy. But I think you can replace him. He turned into, you know, like I said, pretty much one-dimensional guy. Akins, as Jack Duffin, I think he's got a bonus coming up in a few days, and we'll know pretty quick if they are figuring he can be the backup or if they're going to not pick up that bonus or move on from him. But I think there's guys out there that they could bring in on a one-year deal here and there in free agency. They have to know those guys who are available. But I think it's viable that a tight end could be in the plans in the draft. You know, like I said, Harrison Bryant, you got him in the fourth round, and he was pretty productive, you know, right out of college. So, yeah, I think that they'll bring in at least one starting – or not starting caliber, but depth tight end, and maybe two if they move on from Akins.
Fair enough. I think they have to. Let's see here. Lots of good questions to pick from here. Drew in Brick City here wants to know about Dalvin Cook, and goes from 1,000-yard rusher to nowhere. He asks, why is no one talking about Dalvin Cook? Did he fall off a cliff? He was released last year, spent a little time with Baltimore, right? At the end of the
well,
year.
He actually, yeah, he was on their practice squad and they brought him up for the playoffs. And he, you know, he had a couple pretty good runs in the playoff game. But, you know, that's the thing that, about running backs, you know, it just seems like they do kind of fall, run out of tread on their tires. And if you're a Browns fan, you hope Derrick Henry has run out of tread going to the Ravens. And so, I don't know. I don't think he's the type of guy, you know, if again, I'm reading between the lines that there's optimism with Nick Chubb. I don't know what that means when he'll return, but because they didn't go aggressive at a bigger name free agent in, that I know of, I mean, Zach Moss, we saw, I think he got like a 1-year deal or something with the Bengals. Not big money, maybe 2 years, but they weren't. What I was told was they were losing out because they were going for 1-year offers. So
right.
They're not looking at it as a big priority. And I think it would be a big priority if you knew Nick Chubb was out for half the season or more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, at this point, gee, I'm not hearing anything about Dalvin Cook. I don't know. Maybe we're missing something here. Let's see here. Another running back question. Fizbiz wants to know what's the next move in the running back room after adding Hines. And our speculation is right now that, well, there may not be one if they're feeling good about Nick Chubb, right? Or they may swipe up someone really cheap on a one-year deal.
Yeah, if they don't sign him before the draft, I think they would look at the draft and they feel good about a back that they feel could help them this year, they'll draft one. Andrew Berry has drafted a running back in half of his drafts. Mm-hmm. Four, he's drafted two. And they've been no higher than the fifth round, Jerome Ford. So if they think there's a Jerome Ford type guy there that they can plug in as the third back behind Ford and Strong to start the season, that's providing Nick Chubb isn't able to start the season, then I can see them waiting and not even drafting one. But if they go through the draft and don't do that, I think they will pick somebody up on a one-year deal. They've shown that. You know, I haven't updated the list, but you mentioned a Dalvin Cook. You know, he wasn't even on a list of available free agents, you know, meaning that he wasn't hot. You know, maybe I don't think he's under contract, but like I said, J.K. Dobbins or A.J. Dillon, you know, Dante Foreman. I mean, the guy from Cordell Patterson. I mean, there's guys out there.
Ton of them.
There was guys like Leonard Fournette, a lot of guys like that available even when the season started. So, I don't think it's a high priority for him. And again, I go back to because I think that Nick Chubb, you know, there's optimism he's going to be able to play sooner than later. And they have to feel like that he's going to be closer to the old Chubb than the injured Chubb. That's all right. I can think.
Well, you know, if they do want to pick up a running back, I have no idea where that kid from Notre Dame is going to fall, but boy, I like him. At any rate, Kelly Black on YouTube writes, would it be better to get a starting quality safety and get a linebacker in the draft? We haven't talked about safety very much here, Fred. Do you view that as a need that you might want to address on day two of the draft?
I don't know. They put a lot of they recommitted to Grant Delpit and they paid a lot of money to Juan Thornhill. He had a very underwhelming season. He vowed to get better, so let's hope so. But I think the silver lining there at safety was when those guys were injured, they had to play DeAnthony Bell and Ronnie Hickman. And Ronnie Hickman, undrafted free agent, really showed he could be a pretty good player.
He did.
As well as Bell played pretty well. I think he had two interceptions in his time, and Hickman had that one big one, the game they won. And so I think that bodes well for the depth. They had the veteran, Rodney McLeod, before he got hurt, and then they brought in Daron Harmon, both of them very inexpensive one-year type deals. I think they'll probably approach it the same way this year, I would think. But I think mainly how they view Hickman and Bell would go a long way to your question. If they think they really have something there, then I don't think they're worried about a starting quality safety. I think they already have. They've committed to Delpit as a starting quality safety and Juan Thornhill as a starting quality safety. If he goes the way of a John Johnson, that would be disappointing again. But those are your starting guys. And then it's how you look at Bell and Hickman as far as are you going to go aggressively to get depth behind them. I think it would be more so bringing back Rodney McLeod, you know, or Daron Harmon, those 30-something veteran safeties.
And that leads us directly into our next question. This comes from Charlie Chuck in YouTube, and he says, any talk at all about McLeod? He says the locker wasn't cleared out yet. McLeod was, I think, active on social media today. saying something that could be interpreted as having a desire for a little bit better offer than the offers that are coming through for him. There is an interview with Rodney McLeod done by our Noah Weisskopf. You could find it on the site if you go to theobr.com, where he expresses a desire to come back to the Browns, but haven't heard a lot of buzz about the Browns and McLeod getting close to a deal. But
well, he was an under-the-radar guy last year, again, mm-hmm. kind of like a Shelby Harris. He did come in before training camp, but he was one of those under-the-radar. I mean, he's in his 30s. He's more of a coach on the field. He's been with Jim Schwartz forever. I'm sure if Jim Schwartz says, yeah, we need him back, he's coming off a, you know, bicep surgery. Yeah, I saw him he tweeted something about, I just want some respect or something. So mm-hmm. whether he got an offer or he hasn't got an offer by the Browns, that's, you can interpret it, but he doesn't have a lot of leverage. I don't think he's going to be sought after heavily by teams because of his age. And just looking at last year, I mean, he didn't get signed till late. And then he got hurt and missed, you know, 2/3 of the season. But when he was on the team, he was out there as the third safety, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the game. So I think they would like to bring him back unless they see somebody that they can get basically for the less money, you know, that can do what they want. But I'm not thinking they're going to be very aggressive in the safety market.
Okay. I think that's fair given how well they're set up at this point. Fumble 13 asks, could we possibly see a couple of compensatory picks next year in line for a couple of seventh rounders currently? Boy, that compensatory pick formula, Fred, I have absolutely no idea how that works. I think it's protected better than the hydrogen bombs.
Well, I think it comes back to guys you lose in free agency and how they perform, you know, like Taki, Anthony Walker, Harrison Bryant, you know, they lost four or five. And it's interesting because they were almost all 2020 draft picks, you know, like Harrison Bryant, Nick Harris, Taki, or was, you know, whatever. So I don't know exactly. I don't, unless they really ball out big time, I don't know if you're going to, you know, how much you're going to get. I don't know if you, Flacco, I guess, would be a free agent because he was on the roster. So depends on how those guys do. But if he's a backup, he's not going to play much. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know the formula, but yeah, whatever. There are better chances if their assistant general managers go to another team. You get a third round pick if Glenn Cook goes somewhere or Catherine Raish goes somewhere. That's how they got one, you know, when Kwesi went to the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to them in finding job opportunities with other teams so we can get those picks. Teddy on YouTube writes, do you see Stefanski and Barry getting extensions? Hard to see otherwise at this point, right, Fred? I don't know. I think it's more a matter of when, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Stefanski's been the coach for 4 years. He's been the NFL coach of the year twice.
Right.
He's on pace. I think he's already like up third or fourth all time, you know, one of the best percentage winnings coach. I mean, behind Paul Brown and Blanton Collier, he's off to a better start than Bill Belichick was when he was here. So, I mean, I know people might get upset with the play calling, but I think he's done a pretty good job learning on the job. This is his first head coaching job. You know, I much rather have stability than every year fire the coach and get a new one in. And same way with Andrew Berry, you get a whole, you know, when you do that, you get on that carousel. It's like a honeymoon. They all want their own people and they start from scratch. They get rid of everybody and get their own people. And then you're back to 1-15 and blaming the guy before you. So, yeah, I think it's just when they're going to make that extension. Wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhere, you know, before the training camp begins.
All right. I'm going to slide in one more question. We just got it from the world's fastest fat man. He says, okay, serious question. For all the work we've done on the wide receiver room, most of the talent seems to be in the slot. Coop is more of a Z. Do we expect Tillman to step up, or are we still looking to add a wide receiver? What are your thoughts on this, Fred?
I said that earlier. I would like to get, you know, like, I don't know if they can work out things with Mike Williams, that type of guy, you know, maybe they probably, that would have been the trade. So where they're at now, yeah, I kind of agree. Amari Cooper's been so valuable for this team, but we, if he goes down and he's played with injuries, you really don't have a guy near him. You got these speedier, you know, slot type guys. I know Judy's 6'1", so he's got a little more size to him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would kind of, even if you get a veteran at this point that can play a little more outside, I think Tillman could be, and they could see him developing into that, but I don't think you can count on that right now. I would like to see kind of like what you did with Marquise Goodwin, find a guy like a one-year guy that you could bring in with a, with not a big commitment that right. has played well and is still available. You know, I don't know who that might be, you know, at this point, but somebody, you know, that could step in and give you a good compliment to Amari Cooper and what he does. And you know what you're getting. It's proven. It's not like, oh, I hope this guy can play.
Right, right. Yeah, not another Anthony Schwartz situation. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this evening. I want to thank, according to our ticker here, hundreds and hundreds of people who've been watching, two older gentlemen discuss football for the last hour. We are certainly happy to have had you hang out with us tonight. Thanks for all the great questions. Remember, 50% off an annual VIP pass at the OBR this week only. Drop by and grab it while you can. Tons of activity going on. Thank you also to Core Home Fitness for sponsoring this program. Look for The Lift every day in the Newswire, where I try to write about something positive, sports or not sports, every single day, presented by Core Home Fitness. Thanks to Core Home Fitness for sponsoring us. That's it for this program. Fred and I will be back next week at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, perhaps to talk about more free agent acquisitions. We'll see. More news happening for the Cleveland Browns. We hope you join us. For Fred Greetham, I'm Barry McBride. Good night. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Thanks for your support.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.